Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 582. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I am here to protest the invasion of other countries by playing this video game about invading other countries. Yeah.
I can't wait to know what game you're playing. Jeff is here as well.
War is bad.
Where's hell?
That's my stance. I'm taking a bold stance here.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. There's no getting around that. The imagery.
I'm anti.
Anti-war.
Yeah.
Anti-war.
That's good. I'm glad you're not advocating for war. So be very. And it is very weird to see some Americans advocating for war currently. What's going on there is really bad, but we shouldn't be advocating to like engage.
They should go fight
further.
It.
So it's funny, like nuclear weapons proliferate. So everybody's like, well, that's going to be the end of war because war is going to be too horrible because we have nuclear weapons. And here it is, this war that we can't prevent because one of the nations has nuclear weapons.
Weird how that worked out.
Yes. The Russians have discovered the loophole. They just need to attack a country that doesn't have nuclear weapons. So as long as you're bordering a country like Canada, for instance, does not have nuclear weapons.
We should take Canada.
That is an opportunity for us. We should look to expand northward. Mexico. Mexico probably does not have nuclear weapons, I don't think. So I'm just saying there may be some upside if the United States wants to go along and start conquering its neighbors that, you know, this opportunity exists.
We could finally get Greenland. Like, we go through Canada first and then just hop over there and take Greenland from Denmark.
That's right.
I'm sure Denmark doesn't have nukes, right?
No, of course not.
Great. I'm glad we found the loophole, guys.
Putin found the loophole.
Great. I'm glad that he's waited 20 years.
When he wasn't spending all that time showing off his six pack on the beach, like
riding bears,
spending some time trying to find a way to invade his neighbor.
Yeah. The scary thing is, like, does it stop here? Like, his speech was kind of like, I want to reform the Soviet Union.
Yeah. I mean, there's another number of other former Soviet republics that he does border. Like, all of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think only, like, one or two of them actually have nuclear weapons because they have the old silos from when...
When the Soviet Union was there, yeah.
Yes.
We had to leave these behind with you.
Yes, that's basically it. Like, we couldn't... Like, there was no mechanism for removing these missiles, so you still have them. So they have a bunch of, like, at this point, 40-year-old nuclear warheads. Which would probably explode if you tried to do anything with them.
Yeah. Let's not do that. Yeah, so we're not geopolitical experts. So.
Everybody dabbles, though. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Nope, not me.
not Jeff. It's like, he's the Elden Ring expert.
This is more like somebody's out there like doing polling. Like, what do you feel, Mr. Dumbfuck from Alabama, about this? Why are we polling these people? We don't need their opinion on this. They
talk
don't know
to
anything.
People,
they literally know nothing.
They can't find Ukraine on that. What happened at the diner, Jeff?
Yeah, we talked to people in a diner in, you know, Scranton. Got their take on it.
Oh, yeah. The news people. Yeah.
That should literally be the first question. First, here is a map. Find Ukraine. If you can't do that, never mind. Move on.
I'll be honest. I doubt I could. I did try, but I doubt.
I'm ashamed of you, Jeff.
I am not.
I feel like anyone on this podcast should be able
you could
to find
Ukraine it.
In a map.
If
you could find Russia, just go a little bit to the southwest, and there will be Ukraine.
It's enough, like, that, you know, I can't even keep up with, you know, I keep up with domestic bullshit. That's fucking enough.
You know the thing that's really throwing me off? I wrote my thesis on the invasion of the Soviet Union. I really know, like, I focus a lot on Ukraine and a lot of the stuff that happened there. Every time I see Kiev now, spelled with a Y instead of an I.
I know. I thought it was different.
Me crazy.
But it's because the Soviet way of spelling it was K-I-E-V.
I thought
right?
It was like chicken Kiev.
Yeah.
And the Ukrainian way of spelling is K-Y-I-V, I think.
See, yeah. How they
I have all these board games about the invasion of Russia, and they all say K-I-E-V, and I'm just like, every time I see the Y, I like cringe a little bit. Like, I know it's correct, but it still hurts to see.
You're falling for Russian propaganda.
It's not Russian propaganda. I think the Y comes from Ukraine.
That's what I mean. So when it's spelled with an E, that's Russian propaganda.
Yes, I think that the KI is Russian.
Russian.
Jeff, can you find Germany on a map?
Maybe. I mean, I can't picture it in my head, but if you gave me a blank map, maybe I could.
I mean, it's.
Can you find Italy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. North.
Go up a little bit.
It's straight north of Italy.
Northeast a little bit. Like thereabouts.
Yeah. Just don't pick Switzerland or Austria. They are in between.
Where should I run away to?
Not there.
I think first you should find a map and study the map and then decide where to run to.
At this point, is there any place to run away to? Because, I mean, you can't run away to Canada anymore.
Like New Zealand, maybe?
New Zealand you can't get into.
Yeah.
Island.
I don't think running to an island is a good choice, given the future of climate.
I think a lot of people are going to start running to parts of, like, northern Africa.
I'm going to move to southern.
Yeah.
I'm going to move to Cape Town.
Cape Town?
It looks fun in that one movie I saw it in.
South Africa is not a great place.
I was going to say, what movie did you see that South Africa came off in?
It's a filmmaker from Cape Town. He made this movie called Fried Berry. It looks like a party town.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I would probably thrive there.
That's what you want to move to a party
in one
town.
Of the countries where they literally sell rape insurance. You can go there if you want to.
Who, Cape Town?
Yes.
I'll be fine.
Yeah. We operate out of Johannesburg in South Africa, and it's not good there.
No.
Cape Town is on the other side of that country, but
I flew over Cape Town in flight simulator. It was beautiful.
You can go see sharks there.
Hmm.
You can see sharks there. Like people go to go out into the South Atlantic and see great whites.
Really? No, I don't want to do that.
Why not?
I don't want to see sharks. I don't want to be afraid of the ocean. I like the ocean.
Yeah.
Maybe Morocco, Earl.
Is that where we're moving Jeff to?
Yeah, like, you know, up by, like, Strait of Gibraltar.
I'm moving to the lands between. That's where I'm moving.
Jeff, could you find the Straits of Gibraltar on a map?
No.
Do you know how to get into the Mediterranean Sea from the Atlantic Ocean?
I mean, I get in a boat, probably, and just head out.
I mean, like, on a map, could you, like, this is the Mediterranean.
Yeah, probably.
There you go. If you could find that point, then you can...
We need to buy Jeff a map, and then...
My area is, like, I could spell words for you, and I could, like, break down a sentence for you or something. Actually, who knows if I can even do that anymore.
Probably can't do that. And we have, like, autocorrect for that now.
I know, but
I know, like... Microsoft Word now will grade your writing as you're writing it. Like, we don't need English majors anymore.
The guy that made Grammarly, that could be me. Like, I could be like, look, this is how you should write it. Nobody cares, though.
Nope. I thought you were saying that Grammarly, like, kind of a wordy, where it's like, you'd find the correct way to say a sentence.
I don't know. I'm just going by like the commercial. I was like, I could do that. I would tell someone exactly the same advice you showed in this commercial that I saw.
Well, now that we all know that Jeff can't, if we give him a map of Europe, he is insanely lost. And,
but he doesn't need a map of Illinois.
You know, they have an app on your phone that does that too. Like, it tells you where you're going. Like, you know, I'll be fine.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Except if you would take your phone right now and you'd go to Ukraine, it wouldn't work.
Probably.
Well, not probably.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Oh, yeah, well, there. I gotta go there.
Really? That's what he just said.
But like, you know, in general.
Not recommended to travel.
I understand cardinal directions, which I'm gonna tell you something, most people don't. We hire a new person, you'd be like, you understand like north, south, east, west, right? And they're like, no. Do you understand how a town is laid out, like how addresses are laid out? No.
I just say,
how did he get hired?
They'll take anybody, dude. It's kind of amazing.
They'll take anybody.
I was gonna say define understanding cardinal directions, because I understand them. Does not
like
mean that
are,
I have.
If you're out and about, do you know which way is north? Like, you know, like.
Not natively. I am terrible with a sense of direction.
See, most people don't. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they know. Yeah, they understand the concept.
Yes, I would also say that New York's a bit different because, like, it's easy to kind of figure it out because north are. You go up in numbers, south you go down in numbers.
Most people don't. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is most people don't get that.
Like I can understand if you pointed me north, I can tell you where east, west, and south are. But like, I'm not gonna come out somewhere and be like, oh, I know exactly which way is east. If I gave me a compass, sure.
That's probably a skill a lot of people don't have. You
how to use a compass? Yeah, not at all. I mean, I know how to use one, but most people, like, what is this thing you've given me? You throw it on the ground. All right. Well, if we ever get lost in the woods, Jeff can find our way out.
Can he though? Can he?
I don't know.
Yes.
He said he could. So I
what,
trust
but
him.
What if we don't know which way civilization is? What do you do, Jeff? You know how to, like, keep us alive in the woods?
Follow the water.
We need Sean for that.
Right. I would rather have Sean or maybe Walt with me if it comes to surviving in the woods than Jeff.
Dude, I'm an experienced.
He'll be like, you can go
player.
North.
I don't know
okay,
if
that's
know
great,
this.
But I need to eat like a squirrel or something right now. Can you get kill a squirrel for me?
Certainly not. I cannot kill a squirrel. They're cute. Yeah, we would just have to like eat berries and twigs or something.
I mean, if I'm hungry enough, I don't care how cute the animal is. It's going to have to get eaten.
I mean, if somebody else kills it for me and then cooks it.
So you just need sure. to have somebody who doesn't care that the creature is cute and is still willing to kill
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes, you kill it and skin it and hand me the meat. I will cook it for you. Like, at that point, it's dead. Like, I will just meet then. But
I think if somebody else kills it, you have to skin it. I think that's the rule. Like, you know, you have to do some of the work here.
Yeah, I'm going to cook it.
Yeah, but that's the easy part. Like, once you've already skinned it, like, you can throw it over a fire and cook it. Who needs it?
Yeah, I don't want to clean an animal either. I know how to clean a fish, but I don't want to do that either.
No, that's disgusting. I don't enjoy that either. Like, my preference is to, like, stay in civilization where other people will do this for me.
Yes.
Not yeah, lost yeah. in the wood.
That's my preference.
Well, I forgot. There's been so much news and stuff today. I don't even know where this is from, but there was an article or something where somebody in the government was like, they're afraid of this generation not surviving, the quote-unquote Nintendo generation surviving boot camp because they're too soft.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, that's probably one. I think we're all past the age of being recruited.
Yes.
You're
not recruiting 35 and 40-year-olds. Like,
I mean, if you start doing it, we're way too effed at that point.
That's right.
To really bother. But yeah, I saw that. But I said, I'm like, yeah, that's probably accurate, though. I mean, yes, point me in the direction of like an MK and like Mortal Kombat, an AK, and like, holy shit, I could do something with it in real life. Not a clue. Not a clue.
I don't know. I hear that you just point it and shoot. Just point and shoot.
Point and kick.
That's it. It took like 2 minutes in that new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. Like, taught the girl how to shoot a gun.
That seems about right.
You ever watched it, Earl? Come on, it's classic.
No, don't watch it.
Well, it can't be a classic if it just came out.
Instant classic. Oh, I'm sorry.
But I'm waiting to watch it with some friends, and
you don't like it anymore.
I'm neither gonna confirm nor deny these accusations. I would say the last thing we watched together was what was it? It was Bigfoot versus Megalosaurus, I think. And I have seen some terrible movies in my lifetime, and that was by far the worst movie I've ever seen. And so I do owe them something for that movie. That was not my choice. I always enjoy incredibly great movies.
Right.
Speaking of, Uncharted came out last week.
It did.
It's both correct. Saw it,
right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like you may not have liked it. I enjoyed my time with it.
I did not dislike it. I mean, ultimately what I said was it's fine. Like, it's not a bad movie. It's not anything that, you know, like, there was nothing offensive about it. I didn't think, like, oh, this is all. But, like, I mean, it's been a week, and if you ask me what happened in that movie, I really couldn't tell you much.
Yeah, that's fair. They went underneath a city. There were some traps. They had to solve some puzzles. They went to an island in the Indian Ocean. In the Indian Ocean, by Malaysia, maybe.
I'll take your word for it.
And there was a pirate ship.
Yes. Two pirate ships that they didn't airlift did. And even though it's been gone for, it sounded like centuries, did not break apart.
Yeah, they just lifted that right out of there.
So good on that ingenuity, I guess. Yeah, and the post-credits tease was Sully growing his mustache, and it was a movie. Again, not bad, not great. Is it the worst thing I've ever seen? No.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, there's nothing I could point to that's like, oh man, this was like, oh, this is just, this hurts me. But there's nothing I could point to where it's like, oh man, this is like really exceeding my expectations.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, well, maybe it did exceed my expectations because I went in expecting it to be
nothing.
Absolute dog shit.
And
it's like, this is fine.
I will say that much. I think reviews were harsher on it than the movie. It's fine. It's like, it's not like terrible. But I guess as somebody who is a huge fan of like, Indiana Jones and the Mummy movies and that type of stuff, it doesn't do anything radically new.
It's one of those, and honestly, we haven't had one of those in
a while. Yes, yeah. I think probably since I think the last one would have been the is it Mummy, the Curse of the Emperor King or whatever, you know, the last Mummy movie. And then you had stuff like, God, I forgot about that. I was thinking the last Brendan Fraser one.
The one with Jet Li.
Yes.
The Emperor's Tomb or something like that.
Emperor's New Groove.
I forgot Tom Cruise did one.
Yeah, that was a different, I didn't dislike that one either. It's not great, but.
I dislike any movie that's like, we're going to take half an hour in this movie to set up another movie franchise, and that movie franchise is never going to come. So,
yes, that was a little disappointing. The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, Brendan Fraser and Jet Li, and that was there about the same time as like National Treasure 2. Which, you know, also kind of fun in that vein.
Yeah. I mean, again, huge fan of Indiana Jones. These are not like what I would call top of the line movies. They're fun movies. I mean, I guess they are not Raiders. I love Raiders, but my personal favorite is Last Crusade. And I know that depends, like some people love it, some people don't. I mean, I don't think anybody dislikes it, but I think like Raiders tends to be the one that gets the rep for movie in the franchise. This is not Raiders. I would wager that this isn't even Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Do you think it's worse than Kingdom, the Crystal Skull movie?
Yes, but I would also go on the record saying that I don't hate Crystal Skull.
I don't either, but I think I'd probably rank this a little bit higher than it. Just because I haven't gone back to Crystal Skull, though. Maybe if I go back and watch that again, I'd have a different take. This reminded me a lot. I don't know if you guys remember in the like mid-80s, you know, when Indiana Jones was super, you know, big, just came out. Richard Chamberlain did a pair of movies with Sharon Stone. Alan Quatermain and King Solomon's Mines and Alan Quatermain and the Lost City of Gold. That's what this reminded me of a lot.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say, what is it, Romance in the Stone?
That Sharon Stone's in that too, but that is with...
Kurt Russell.
Is it Kurt Russell?
I thought maybe...
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas, okay. I know it's like one of those people who always seemed old to me, so it was weird to see them young. Yeah, I'm sure they've been young, but yes, Kirk Douglas and Michael Douglas and Kurt Russell, because I don't remember seeing them young. Which and since then, I have seen stuff like Escape from New York and Escape from LA, where Kurt Russell's young, and what is it, Chinatown? So
the Jewel of the Nile and Romancing the Stone were Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas.
Okay,
but yeah, similar in vein to that. I thought, like, you know, doesn't really have the romance plot, but it's a fun enough adventure movie.
Yeah, no shame in that.
No. So that was the big video game movie. There was also a video game TV show that Tony watched a little bit of with his kids.
Yes. So Cuphead.
Yeah.
So Cuphead kind of calls back to the older, like, obviously has the animation style of like the initial Disney movies. Like, it's got the same style as the video game. It looks exactly like that. They're bringing back all the characters and all the bosses. You know, to play through this cartoon, which is essentially about the devil, like Cuphead owing his soul to the devil, and a bunch of episodes about him, you know, foiling the devil's attempts to steal his soul. But it's basically like a Bugs Bunny-esque cartoon for like the 21st century. So it's got like all the slapstick type comedy and those sorts of jokes, and it reminded me so much of watching Looney Tunes in like a old Disney style.
I was going to say, so far so good.
Yeah, no, the episodes are short. They're like 15 minutes apiece. So I think my kids and I blew through the whole first season in like a couple hours. Cause it's only,
Louis?
It's only 10 episodes, I want to say.
It's not bad at all.
No, so if you're looking for something, it's entertaining.
Nice. All right. Was there any other video game television? Halo's soon, right? Like, that's...
Yes, that is the end of March. And what we got? Oh, we did not talk last week, so we did get the announcement of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and a Knuckles TV show spinoff from the Sonic movie franchise.
And Knuckles and Tails are going to be in Sonic 2.
Well, we know about that.
Yes, yeah, they're both in the trailer, right?
And Tails is at the end of part one as a tease.
Yeah, I mean, that looks like it could be fun. That movie, the two. I don't know what three. I guess they're gonna make a three. We don't know who's in that, right? Like,
yeah, it's gonna be Shadow's time to shine.
Can't wait. Is Tails supposed to be a girl?
Tails is supposed to be a boy, and that or male. That took me way too long to realize, because I think the voice, it's like one of those things you do with young kids. It's that they are tend to be voiced by women, so that because as men grow, their voice tends to crack with puberty. So they tend to get women. And I don't think that was a problem until Tails started to be voiced, but I always assumed Tails was a girl when I was younger. That is,
yeah, like the color scheme, kind of how the nope. Is Tails a squirrel?
Fox?
Fox squirrely thing? I don't know. We
are experts at this Sonic the Hedgehog stuff, yeah, as a video game podcast.
Yeah, Jeff, come on. What's Tails?
Tails. It's your sidekick.
What type of sidekick?
Flying.
Flying sidekick.
You know what we meant, Jeff. Give us what we want.
I'm trying to do my taxes here.
Wow. You can do your taxes during your work hours, young man.
You are correct.
You're being paid to be here, Jeff, right now.
Tails is a two-tailed fox. So Tails is a fox. Good call, Earl.
Yeah.
It's a very cute fox.
But yes, it is very... Yes, it is an interesting design. But yes, yeah. Why are you doing your taxes now, anyhow?
Because I'm at my computer, duh.
Oh, so that's OER to
you. Out of nowhere.
your H&R Block.
Do you need any help, Joe?
I think TurboTax has got it. I just tell them, look up all the things for me and do it.
You have like the form, you have like your forms and you just punch the numbers in.
Honestly, it does like most of it for you. Like it asked me if I sold stock, which I did. I made like $10 in fucking stock sales.
But that's not enough to really do anything.
I know, I shouldn't have reported it at all, because now that I've reported it, I had to pay TurboTax. And like,
I was going to say, it's the same thing with like charitable giving, which is always funny, because like you always get people who are like complaining that they haven't got their your W-4, I think, for taxes, and then they've given like $25. You need to give so much money for it to actually be worth anything.
I like regret clicking the button now, because I'm like, they're not gonna come after me if I didn't report this, or you know what I mean, like. And then now I had to like pay fucking TurboTax like fucking who knows how much, and my state tax went down to fucking $4 refund. I don't know what the fuck happened there. I should like, I don't know.
I can't. Anyways. Help.
But
yeah,
the initial point I was making is, it was like, you know, I have this form here that Charles Schwab sent me, you know, like this fucking 19 pages of fucking my 1099, but literally TurboTax will just pull that from them, like if you give them access. And it's like, doing your taxes on TurboTax is like, anybody could fucking do it, but apparently not me. I just cost myself fucking money, and I don't feel like starting over.
Are we in advertisement for TurboTax now?
I don't know. You guys don't ever use it? Like, it's...
No, I use TurboTax.
I used to use them. I've switched in recent years to Credit Karma. because they do it, and I'm like, they already have my I don't know, they already have my credit score and stuff, and it was free. I think TurboTax is free, and then they charge you for state or something like that. I forget how it goes.
Filing the federal one is free. They charge you per state. Yes. I think you even get the first state free. If you have multiple states, though, they charge you for each one.
I have actually never filled out the tax form for myself. My wife has done it the entire time we've been married. And my mom used to do my taxes before that. So I just signed the form, and it could be right, it could be wrong. Like, assuming it's right, my wife did go to like an actual tax guy.
But before you were married,
my mom did them.
Or he was married 30 years ago.
20 this year. So
that's a tough.
Old as shit.
Yeah.
Damn. Yep.
So
I just realized I've been at my job for 15 years now. Sanity.
I was gonna. You folks are getting old. It's ironic too, because I was just talking to a friend today about like how I don't know many lifers. Like, most people I know at jobs have been there. Like, you've gone there for a few years, but like 15 years, like, hitting double digits seems like such a milestone now.
There are very, very few people who do. Like, I think I'm the only person in my company my age who has been there that long. Like, the other people who've been there that long are all much older than I am.
You've been how long at your company?
15 years.
18?
15.
15? Fucking retire.
2007, baby.
When?
2007.
You're retiring in 2007?
Oh.
That's when I started. Back in time. That's when he started.
I wish I started at my place in 2007. I've been at my place a while now, though. 2013. So coming up on a decade soon.
It's hard to leave. Like, I'm at like max daytime off.
Now. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
And like I'm in the highest tier of the retirement contributions. Like, I could leave, I guess. But I really just want the company I'm currently with to pay me more. That's really, really important.
Like, my whole thing with leaving is like, you go to start a new job, and unless like you can negotiate it, like, they're gonna start you out at like 2 weeks vacation. Yep. If you're lucky, it's like, no, I don't know.
I didn't work this job for 15 years to go back to square one with that kind of
thing. Right. Like, oh, you're gonna pay me more but take away time. Yeah, I'm not sure I like that trade off.
I can't do that.
I guess it depends, because I guess younger now. I mean, older, but because like this job, actually, I got a pay raise, but I took a time cut. But I would eventually even out. Yes, it's the thing that sucks, though, is like, because I will be at this job 4 years this year, but it's not until 5 years that I get 4 weeks vacation, which would match what I previously had, and then I think it's 8 years where you get 5 weeks. Which is when it will top off. But I'm like,
guess how many days of time off I get this year?
3 weeks.
31.
What? 31?
41.
41.
41. That's pretty good.
You have 41. What? Wait.
Plus holidays. 41 days.
Oh, 41 days.
That's a weird number.
So it's because I'm at the max. It's 35 days. I carried over 5, plus we get a floating holiday.
Yeah, I could carry over shit too. Like, there's people at my work, like some of the older guys, like literally have like could leave for half a year and fucking cover it with sick leave or vacation leave. Like, I fucking use all my shit.
I'm taking my second day of the year tomorrow. I need to use
that. Do you have to use them by a certain time, Tony?
Yeah, by December 31, I can only carry over 5 days, so I have to use all of it except 5 days.
I see. We can carry over a week, but we have to use them by March 31st of the following year. So,
How has that been during the pandemic?
I mean, tell us what they just been.
Our HR bugs us to use our days. Like, just take a day off. Just don't do anything today.
Oh, no, because, like, you know, like, the pandemic was there. I mean, my hours might have been different, but because, like, for instance, hours rolled over, I think I mentioned before, hours rolls over at the end of June or at the start of July, because that's when our fiscal year is. So, like, the pandemic hit in March, and it was like, okay, we're going to allow you to keep X number of days, but we hope that you use it until the end of December 2020. And it's kind of just been like, you know, we're going to be a bit more flexible with rollover because like, nobody's had anywhere to go for 2 years. I mean, people are going places now, but yes.
They were making us because it's a money issue, like, and budget wise, and the American economy wasn't doing no economy was doing great, but they wanted to filter all of our money out of the U.S. So they were like, yeah, use your time, because they didn't want to have to accrue and keep that money in the bank here. So we actually lost the ability to carry over for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. They just gave it back.
But yes. Well, no, I won't miss any podcast time, but yes, I'm taking my first trip next week. I'm going to Chicago, and then I might do a trip in April, because again, our time expires in June, and I've basically been rolling over time for the past 2 years. So I've had, I actually had, I think, 5 weeks of vacation this year. I've taken the two rollovers. I took a week off in January, just to take a week off in January. And I don't know what I did with the other one. I don't know. I probably lost time along the way in the pandemic, just because, again, I'm home most of the day anyhow, so.
Fair enough. You being home most of the day anyway, what have you been playing while you've been at home?
What have I been playing? I mean, the honest answer is Fortnite, but I don't know if we want to talk about Fortnite anymore. But yes, I think I mentioned this when the Xbox thing came out, that my time in Fortnite is now measured in days, not hours. Actually, I think it's measured in weeks.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Not every week, but I do think it's over 2 weeks of actual real time in Fortnite, because I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but I mentioned it on Twitter. Fortnite is my lunch break. I will play with my friends during lunch when I'm not in the office for an hour, because when I was in the office, I would still take that hour and I'd play video games when I'd go out. But I have Fortnite. It's a great way to play with people and to communicate, and then I don't really play with it any other time. I've been playing more Pokemon Legends Arceus, and Rainbow Six Extraction, which I think is the only one I think worth giving an update on, partially because they had their first, I don't forget what they call it, but it, I mean, you know, like an event where you go and it's something special, and I think it's called Crisis Spillovers. And those are, I mean, basically if you've played any kind of seasonal game, it's like a big event where you can unlock special gear and cosmetics. And it's, none of you have played Extraction, right?
Tony, did you try it?
I played through half the tutorial and stopped just so I could get an achievement and get my 250 points from the Microsoft rewards. I didn't really play it.
Oh, is that a thing? I should check. I probably passed by now. But
It ends at the end of February, so you got time.
Oh, okay. So I'm not, you know, I'm going to be paying into this podcast right now. But in all seriousness, so I forget if I updated or not, but like there was, when we first played it, we had difficulty, because it's like when you play, if you use a character in a stage, that character is MIA for a stage, you can go rescue them. And we used to try to rescue them, and it just would not work out for us. So we've gotten much better at that. But with this one, it's like you have spawn points that you can trigger, and it brings up different types of enemies. So it might be that you'll get, it's essentially kind of a horde mode. So you'll get swarmed by invisible enemies, or you'll get swarmed by explosive enemies, or like they do double damage, and it's trying to manage that because you do get to trigger these points, but there are a number of fixed points on the map. So it's not like, you know, you can trigger the same type over and over again. It's like you do these two, then you have to do three more. That three more would mean that, oh crap, now we have to do it three waves of invisible enemies. And that becomes a pain in the ass. So we get to do it a wave of invisible and a wave of explosive and a wave of normal enemies. So it's partially managing that. And then it has its own set of objectives, which is like, you know, with friends, kill 500 enemies. With friends, compete. I think it's something like 40 of these incidences, I think is what they're called. So it's just a different type of way to play that game. It gives you a bit more material. So like you'll start off in the extraction zone, and there's like 12 things of ammo recharge. There's like six med packs. So it's also kind of like resource management. So you're not like, you don't take all the ammo at the start, just you run out and stuff like that. So it's fun, and I think as we've played, we've gotten better at it, and I really do enjoy the game. It is stressful to a degree, because a lot of it is also like, you know, like you go into a mission and you don't necessarily know what you're going to get until it rolls out, so you can get a bunch of three missions in a row that are just really crap, or you get three that are like, oh yeah, we can knock this out, 1, 2, 3. Like there was one we did yesterday where it's a rescue mission where you have to rescue somebody before the infected, or I forget what they're called, take them out. And my friends are like, oh, going all stealthy. I'm like, you know what? I'm bored. So I'm just like, I just rode up to the holding him hostage. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just going to try to kill him before they get to him. And they're like, oh, this is going to, and I ended up taking out, I think it was like six enemies really quick in short order. Before they got to him, then we just brought him back to the rescue spot. I'm like, yeah, we could go about it stealthy, but I it's one of the things I don't want. I want to go out and go proud, but it remains a really fun game. And again, it's on Xbox Game Pass. So I do recommend it if you want to check it out.
Anything more to say on Pokemon? I have now played a bit of it.
I will say with Pokemon, and maybe I'm still really enjoying it. I am taking my time with it, because I do know with games like this, I do burn myself out if I just go every day. And I'm really taking my time with it because it is a background game. So I think I most recently just completed the second frenzied Pokemon, and I opened up like the beachfront area, and that was a really gorgeous area to come into. Yeah, I still think it remains really great that, I think I've spoken to several people since then, and really, I think the agreement we all kind of have is like, it's so great that it's a Pokemon game that actually kind of respects your time and investment, so you're not, you're not stuck just like going through animations or a ton of menus to do even basic tasks. I've gotten my second Rider Pokemon, and the fact that it's right or left on the D-pad to switch between them and not a sub-menu, it's just like, yeah, this is all I wanted. It's like, this is a Pokemon game. It's Pokemon I know. It's Pokemon I enjoy. You still have the capture mechanic. You still have battles, but everything is just so much streamlined. And it even has a story, which Pokemon games tend to have stories, but this one actually seems to be invested, and there's a lot of different parties with different and sometimes competing goals in mind.
I'm still pretty early on. I've only gotten to like the second camp, but I'm really liking what I've played of it so far. I was a little surprised that your Pokemon journal or your Pokedex is considered complete for a particular Pokemon after like 10 levels, and that's pretty easy to get. Like,
yeah. And then you get, I don't think you and I played a game this way, but then if you complete the entire Pokédex, you also, like, I think it raises your chances of getting a shiny.
Okay. Yeah, I still am not really sure what the hell a shiny is other than, like, a glowy Pokemon.
It's actually a different color from the normal version of the Pokemon.
It's different color, yeah. It sparkles, and it also... I mean, I think a lot of people capture it because of its rareness, but yeah, you will get one in the course. I think you get at least one that I've gotten so far throughout the course of the story where they have you get it for the story purposes. And I've gotten some in Pokemon Go, but I'm not, because the odds in, I think the actual game is like 1 in 1,200 or something like that. So it's a grind. I don't even know if they come with better stats or anything like that.
I don't think that they do.
They're just like slightly cooler looking.
Yeah. And not always better. Not always, because sometimes the color schemes don't really work.
Because they probably didn't spend a whole lot of time thinking about them. Because God, it's
1200.
Just kind of like running around, collecting all the resources and grabbing Pokemon as I go along. Which is that, like, I have plenty of money. There seems to be plenty of resources.
So you won't have plenty of money.
Okay.
Because you end up spending so much of that money on expanding your storage bag.
Yeah, he, like every time you go, he keeps, upping it exponentially.
Yep, and I think the final purchase is, a million bells or whatever the currency
is.
Wow.
Well...
And, to be fair, though, I honestly think that is the only thing I spent money on. Because, everything else you can kind of get enough materials. You can grind stuff to make Pokeballs and potions and revivals. So, really, I've thrown all my money into just a bag storage because that runs out really quickly.
Yeah, I was already getting, oh, your thing is filled. Damn it, I guess I need to go drop this stuff off. It's sometimes you'll just pick up dumb stuff, rotten acorns or something, which is why do I have this?
Yes, and this is one of the things that does piss me off about the design, because if you complete any side mission or any quest where you get an item as a reward, that they will specifically send that to you. They will send that to your box, no problem. And I'm like, why can't you do that for anything else I pick up?
Which is, it's funny because there's a similar collection mechanic in Horizon Forbidden West. You're picking up resources. You're crafting potions and stuff for your arrows and your equipment and stuff. And your bag only has a limited amount of space. But once you reach that, it just magically goes to your box for you.
Which I'm, sometimes I'm okay with video game magic.
It's awesome. I just have all the wood. Every time I see trees, I just go and grab all of them.
You look at the box, it's full of wood.
I will be honest with you. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any game where resource management has been fun for me.
Yeah, it's and she'll make a comment too. She'll be like, "Oh, my pack is full, but I can just get this from my storage bin later," which is it's a magic storage bin too, because you're traveling, right? It's the storage bin from Diablo, Jeff, where it just travels with you, and every city, It's great. So I can literally build a city now with the amount of wood I have. And I could feed an entire village with the amount of berries and meat that I've collected, but who cares? It's fun. I have it all. And it's not a pain in the ass. Nothing in Forbidden West is a pain in the ass, but I think I finally gotten to the Forbidden West, and it took 7 hours.
Oh, no.
I guess it's not forbidden anymore.
No, it's still forbidden.
I mean, it's taking 7 hours is kind of foreboding.
Yeah, that's a game. And I knew going in, because the original Horizon was 30, 40 hours. Oh. I knew it was a chunky, it's an action RPG. An open world action RPG, kind of like The Witcher or something like that, just with a more, gamey combat. And this is definitely more of that, but I'm talking to the guy, I've just completed what I guess is the big mission that I was set up to do in the beginning. And you talk to a guy and you can ask them questions, and he's laying out the Forbidden West for you. And there's a bunch of zones out there that I'm going to have to go to. This game is gonna be massive. And that could be troublesome because, like, I like to play other games too. but it's beautiful. I kind of like how Aloy is just. She is just kind of like. She doesn't really take anybody very well. She's always very sarcastic to everybody, and it's kind of like, Jesus, like, what, you shut up, please. In fact, she does tell this one. Yeah, they're all terrible, but she does tell this one priest guy. He starts like speaking from a scroll, and she just like looks at him and is like, shut up. it's been very good so far. I'm enjoying it. It has like really good side missions that have good story attached to them, and evidently completing them like impacts the world in a way. Like, it's not, it doesn't change things for you, but it does change how, you know, the village that you were working on, they will comment to you, like, oh, like, you saved those refugees or whatever. Thank you for doing that. Or the refugees are, they have set up camp outside of town. Like, they'll comment on, like, stuff you've done inside missions. There's lots of, like, little caves and areas to explore that are just out there. Like, there's no real reason for you to go there, but they've set this up so you can like dive underwater and find a hidden underground cave. And there's like cool loot inside if you go there, but it's not story related. So it's just like, it just rewards exploration. Game's fun. Like, It's, and this is the same problem with all of these types of games that are direct continuations. You start this game with just your bow and just like one type of arrow. And if you remember at the end of Horizon, like, you had a whole arsenal at your disposal, all sorts of different arrows, and you had explosive arrows and fire arrows and I think ice arrows. And in this, it's like you have like a regular bow and arrow. And
you trip and fall.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, you wouldn't have any of your equipment. And they try to pass it off as like you've been traveling light, because you've been trying to solve this mystery of why it's like this blight that is taking over Earth, and you're trying to find a solution for it. By finding a backup to Gaia, which is like the terraforming system that had been set up 1,000 years before. And, but it's like, to me, it doesn't make any sense. Like, okay, she doesn't remember how to make those, like the tear arrows that would take off the components on the machines. And like, I have to learn all that again. That seems weird. There is a grapple hook in the game, you know, another grapple hook. It's a good grapple hook. It's fun. It's not quite Halo fun, but you can do cool things with it, like do some Spider-Man swinging, grab stuff and pull it. You can pull chests down from ledges and open them down on the ground. So it's a very good game. It's more Horizon. So if you didn't like Horizon, more of that. You're probably not going to like this one, but if you previously liked the first Horizon game, I think it is a good time.
I'm excited to finally play it when I'm done with the game I'm currently playing.
Which is what, Tony?
Total War Warhammer 3. It's really super unfortunate when my two most anticipated games of the year come out in consecutive days. You know, I started playing Warhammer 3 when it came out, so I haven't touched Horizon yet at all.
Fair.
Horizon always comes out around big games.
It happened last. I remember reading people complaining about the fact that it came out last time, and people didn't play it or like thought it was great, but like it came next to this other really super awesome game. I don't even know what other game they're talking about.
A little game called Breath of the Wild.
Oh no, couldn't be that. That game sucked.
But yes, it's coming out between that and
it's like Elden Ring and Total War, and like, well, what are we doing here? But Total War Warhammer 3 is awesome. Start off with that.
Yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn did release like 5 days before.
Like, always, what are they doing? Gets overshadowed by like one of the biggest games of the decade. Like, right next to, like, you know, when I played Horizon, I liked,
and then this game came out that got like 10 out of 10 from 20 different websites. So they're, what's happening?
I will say that I have a feeling that I will be in the minority again, but I think I will like Horizon more than the other big game.
I am certain I will too. Between. I just don't like that style of game, which is not to say that this is a really, really awesome version of that style of game, but the fact that I don't like that style of game is going to ruin it for me.
Yeah. I will just say as a quick aside, I think we had this discussion, I mean, recently. But like actually, I felt it was like Halo got a game of the year, but I felt like it was like there was not like a contender like this year. At least personally, we're already at like 4 or 5 games that can be game of the year before the end of February.
There'll be a discussion. There will be a discussion this year. Last year there was no discussion. Like it was all right. Halo's going to be the game of the year, so let's pick the other games in our top 10.
Yes, for this year, I'm like Pokemon up there already. Horizon up there, Elden Ring up there for me. Nobody Saves the World up there. Tony,
Total War,
his Total War. And again, we're in February.
Yeah, that's crazy that like we're already at like 5 games that that may end up on our top 10 list.
So,
how is Warhammer 3?
Total War Warhammer 3. Still a mouthful.
Yes, sure, that's
now that they've added numbers in the end, it's even worse, but it's okay because the game is fantastic. I played through the prologue campaign. You play as it's like the Nords. It's like a bunch of guys who live in the ice world. And your commander finds this journal of this guy who went insane. Then, you know, predictably follows what happens in the journal and also goes insane. But hey, whatever. But the prologue is great, guides you through like all the basics of playing through a Total War campaign. So it's a really great like tutorial that also tells an interesting story that is the basis for the campaign, which is that this god is, it's like god that's in the shape of a bear, is mortally wounded. And apparently the death of the god results in this release of awesome power. So every civilization in the game is trying to get access to this dying god so that they can steal the power of the dying god. And it finally dies. Of course, it's a Total War game, so it's... I mean, that's... story backdrop that nobody ever pays attention to. What it's really about is like building really big armies and conquering the territories that are next to you. And it does that super, super well. I'm playing as the in the actual campaign now that I finished the prologue. I'm playing as like the Chinese stand-in civilization because I feel like I'm not super familiar with the Warhammer universe except through Total War. Every one of the civilizations seems like this caricature of some thing, like dwarves or elves or like weird demon people. In this case, it's like a caricature of mythological China. Like, my civilization is set up next to this giant wall. And it like defends the wall from barbarian invasion all the time. The leader of my civilization is a wizard woman who can also transform herself into a Chinese dragon that flies over the battlefield and, you know, does like dragon things. Like, you know, in this case, the dragon breathes lightning. It's a storm dragon, but, it's still got that super cool Total War Warhammer battlefield thing where you're out there and you're seeing awesome stuff happening, like giant monsters fighting little guys trying to fight them off, and it just looks really cool. And you're casting giant spells and like fireballs are flying across them. It just looks awesome. Every battle looks just fantastic. Even the little ones, you're like, I could auto sim this battle, but I really want to see like my guy light all them on fire again, so I'm just gonna play through it anyway. But I think the coolest addition, they have, so in the campaign you're fighting to, you know, get access to this god. In order to get access, you need to acquire 4 souls of immense power. I have no idea what that means, but in game terms, it means you fight 4 battles. In order to fight the battle, you need to take one of your armies, basically send it to the demon realm. To fight through the demon realm, there are like armies of demons that you can battle within the demon realm to get to this point. And when you get to that point, you then fight a battle to win the soul. It's a Total War battle. But unlike a normal Total War battle, it consists of 3 levels. The first level, you fight off whatever enemies in front of you, and you seize this point. And then you have to defend the point from attack. Like, you'll be surrounded by enemies. They'll come from every direction. You take your troops. You have to fight them off. But seizing that point starts to give you resources that you can use to, like, reduce your troops' fatigue, give them arrows back, buy newer or better troops, purchase like defensive towers or put up like, so it's kind of like more classical RTS elements, like actual base building. Mm-hmm. So you fight off whatever that attack that is, which opens up access to the second level. You take the army that you built, go and you seize the second level. And then you do it again. Like, you get that point that you've taken. You have to defend it from attack from increasingly more difficult enemies. While each holding these points gives you resources to buy, you know, more troops, better troops. Also replenish the troops that may have died. It's kind of a cool. It's a cool mechanic. It kind of accelerates as you go through the battle. It's like it'll give you points faster. They'll let you buy better units, and the enemies are also stronger. You started off with this really basic battle where maybe your units weren't so good, to a third phase where the battle looks completely different. Your units are top tier, and they're fighting top tier enemies. So it's a really, really cool new way of fighting a battle in Total War. I think it's a nice concept. So,
cool.
Yeah. So far,
and that's available on Game Pass.
That is the best part. I'm playing it absolutely with a half expanded dime.
So. You're just getting a Total War games for free all over the place. Didn't they give you Troy last year?
They gave me Troy last year. I didn't have to buy Crusader Kings 3. Victoria 3 is about to come out. I didn't have to pay for that. Like, all the strategy games I was really anticipating, they're just all like on Game Pass now. Great, it's awesome. Also, I got the if you link your there's Total War Access, this little account that gives you Total War rewards every once in a while. If you link that account with your Game Pass now, you get the pre-order bonuses for free. I didn't even have to pre-order it, so I got the pre-order because it's always a civilization that they offer you, like a new group to play as. So I got that for free.
That's cool. I love getting free stuff, so
free's good.
Yeah,
it's the right price.
You play anything else, Tony?
No, just that. A lot of that, though. So much of that.
Jeff.
Yo yo yo.
I know you're waiting patiently for for Dark Souls 4. Minutes.
I'm surprised you've not, like, did another the new Ethereum.
Oh, trick. No, Jeff. The servers were invaded by Russia. I'm sorry.
My shit's all downloaded, and I'll play offline. I don't give a shit.
Bet it won't work.
It'll work.
You're going to need to like verify that first time.
Yeah. If
Xbox Live goes down, oh, fucking.
Jeff's just going to go ballistic. But while you're waiting for that, what have you been playing?
So I played a new game, actually, this last week called Infernax. Not a great name, but a great game. It's on Game Pass. You guys, anyone else check it out? Anyone want, you know?
Not yet. I'm going to. Especially since you said it, kind of draws inspiration from Simon's Quest.
Yeah, very much like a love letter to Simon's Quest. So, you know, it's like that, 8-bit look. And it's very much that type of gameplay, but it's, you know, it's modernized. I mean, there would be games back then that were more coherent and less like obscure and vague than Simon's Quest was. You know, Simon's Quest was, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. And this just kind of takes like what that game is, but it's just like, here's a map, here's, you know, a quest log, here's save points all over the place. And one neat thing that they add is that like there's like player choice throughout the game, so there's like a good and evil path you could kind of take. And you could, you know, basically that there's this group of vagabonds in the game. You could either help them and take the evil path, or, you know, help other people. I thought the game was great. Like it definitely has a chance of being in my top 10 this year. Just fun 2D action platformer with, you know, there's like 5 castles you gotta do, and then there's a 6th castle that is really just the final boss, which really made me happy. I love, like, you know, I was expecting to go into this fucking hellhole that would go on for an hour, you know, trying to get to the final boss. You walk into the final castle, and it's just like, you go through one room, and the next room's the final boss. But those 5 castles, they have, you know, platforming in them, and that's probably the most challenging thing in the game. Like, some pretty tricky platforming after, like, the first 2 castles. But if you stick with it, you'll get through it, and I'd say it's worth it. Like, I really enjoyed this game. Also, yeah, it has, like, the kind of an RPG system where you're leveling up your health and your mana. Get new abilities, you know, that, like, it kind of has like that Metroidvania thing where it's like now you have now you could like jump high, now you could jump far, you know, sideways. Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's basically what it is. But it's awesome.
That's neat that they kind of went with the Simon's Quest ending too, because like Dracula's Castle in Simon's Quest is like there's no enemies in there except for Dracula. So like you that's just awesome. Kind of go in and you fight Dracula, because you've already done all the other ones are tough, like all the other
ones. Yeah.
Although the bosses in that one are probably the easiest of.
Yeah, the bosses are like not bad in this game. Like the challenge is really getting to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it sounds like they're taking Simon's Quest notes completely. I never got far. I loved Simon's Quest as a kid, but I was always just fucking around. Like, you know what I mean? I never got anywhere. Bro, do the same shit. Like, I just liked the atmosphere of it, and I liked how it was, you know, like those early Castlevania games were pretty linear. Like, you're just going left to right or right to left. Yep. Like, and Simon's Quest introduced the idea of, you know, we're a 2D game like this, but you're exploring, you know?
Yep, there was towns, and there was stuff to buy, and...
And, you know, this is a nice homage to that. It's very like, I don't know if you saw the tornado thing.
Yeah, I've heard about the tornado.
That's so neat. The tornado makes a comeback. I guess one last thing I would mention about Infernax is it's like over the top gory for like a 2D 8-bit type game, which is also awesome. Like when you beat a boss, like their guts will just fucking rip open and explode all over the screen. And, you know, just the whole like level, and you could just get drenched with blood and stuff. I love that too. Another nice touch. I really love this game. Like I said, it's free on Game Pass. It's on everything. So like, if you only have Switch, it's $20 on Switch. You know, I think it's a great game. So for $20, yeah. Sure, but I'm sure it'll go on sale. It's worth, you know, whether you spend $20 on it or not. If that sounds fun to you, it's really worth checking out. The game is really fun.
Yep, definitely. Definitely on my list to give a try to, at least.
You'll like it for sure.
Play anything else?
Nothing new. I mean, I've been playing around with Friday the 13th and Dead by Daylight, which are old. So
I'm curious to hear your thoughts, though, because one, why did you pick these two up?
I've had Friday the 13th since it came out, and I don't know. I was doing anything I could to avoid playing. Like, I want to play, you know, Elden Ring so bad that I wanted to play Dark Souls. And I'm like, no, play something else. Like, you want to go in fresh to Elden Ring. And I was just, like, looking through what I have. I was like, I love Friday the 13th. You know, are people still playing it? And fuck yeah, people are still playing it. And that's, you know, I finally was like, you know, I should check out that Dead by Daylight, too, because everyone, you know, said it's kind of similar. So I checked that out too. I think that, you know, that's new to me this week, Dead by Daylight, and I think it's pretty good. You know, the gameplay in both of these games is very basic. It's just the fun of the idea of it. And I think I prefer Friday the 13th just because it has the full license to it. Like, it's like the music, the setting, like, you know, every level is from one of the Friday the 13th games. You have the Jasons from, I think, almost all the movies.
I think
you have Jason Goes to Hell. I don't know that you have Jason X.
You don't have Uber Jason. I know that for sure.
Yeah, but you do have Jason Goes to Hell. And they added the Jason from the Friday the 13th game on NES, which is so fucking awesome. I want him so bad. I forgot how you have to get him. Like, I think you have to get really high level or something in the game.
Yes, and I like Friday the 13th because I like that you do feel like Jason. You unlock a bunch of different variations of his kills. There's a lot of situational kills. Like, you can beat people up in the sleeping bag. You can impale them. I like that they make his teleportation a system in the game.
Yeah.
What I don't necessarily like is that I think the game is harder than Dead by Daylight to kind of, not solo, but like if everybody else is taken out, it's really hard for you to win because there's not a lot of there's a lot of ways to get out, but like it's harder to do by yourself. Like, yeah. Fixing the car, paddling the boat, calling the cops. We're Dead by a Day, you get, like, after a while, like, if you don't get all the generators, a hatch will open. The killer can close it, but if you get the hatch before they do, you can at least still escape on your own, where I think Friday the 13th, it's pretty difficult to evade. Like, you can evade him if you want to annoy people. Like, there's certain stages where there's a big enough table, you could just run back and forth for it to run out of time, because I think by default, after 20 minutes, you will survive the night.
Yeah, I love that. I love... the other thing I prefer about Friday the 13th is that you can fight back against Jason in it. Like, you can't...
Yes.
I mean, you can kill him, but it's a harder... It's like,
it's almost impossible, but yeah. It is possible to do.
Our group did last night. I died. He got me right before our group did, but I think I still kind of got the credit for it, too. Like, I think, like, on a technical level, like, Dead by Daylight is more polished, but I don't... And it's neat, too, because of all the DLC, so, like, you can see Ghostface, and, you know, I saw Pinhead earlier today, but I like the dedicated thing of Friday the 13th, and, like, how you can just tell how much they love that property, the people that made it, and it's also fun, like, when I played Dead by Daylight, nobody's talking, and then Friday the 13th, like, if you put on a mic, you can be talking with people. And I think the really cool thing about how they handle chat in that game is that if you're far away from the other camp counselors, you guys can't hear each other, and it, like, slowly fades in as you get close to other players. I think that's like a just a really neat touch, but I guess it's Jason could hear you too. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yes.
Time I was playing this week, I was just totally making commentary the whole time, like goofing off with these people, and even after we were still like, even after I realized Jason could hear us, it's like whatever, fuck him. Like we were just like we started like just fucking with Jason because we were all like together. It was like, you can't do shit to us, you know? Like, we're gonna keep fucking shooting you with stuff and whatever. But that 8-bit Jason, dude, I love... Have you seen the 8-bit Jason?
Yeah, I played... because you mentioned it, and I forgot that you actually don't get to pick, because we... Like, when I play, yeah. We have a group that... we don't get together often, but we get together, and there's, like, 6 or 7 of us, and then we just kind of alternate being Jason. It's still random. Okay. You could take a prior... So, like, you can all be it. And it is funny because sometimes you use a group chat and then Jason will be in the chat. And Jason, like, the person who's always Jason's always just, like, really quiet.
Yep. Gathering intel.
Yes. But I do like the radios because it is, because, like, one, you can speak to people within proximity of you as well. But, like, it's kind of, it's a small radius. So it's like, okay, you know, someone's nearby, but I don't know where. But like with the walkie-talkies, you can talk over long distance. Somebody else has it.
Yeah.
Yes, Jason can pick up on that. And then there's I don't know how much of it you got into play, but there's also, I like a lot of the elements of it. Like you can throw people, you can throw a dead body through a window to scare somebody.
I don't know if I ever did that. In Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a fright meter, which is, it's a centimeter end of the fright meter. And that goes up mostly if you're in the dark or by yourself. But like, if somebody's in the dark and you throw a body through the window, like that, where you freaks them out and stuff, like that. And then like, I don't know, because I forget. I don't think all of them. There are some Jasons who can't swim, but there are some who can, and he swims really fast. And it's almost impossible to avoid him in the water, which is another thing to stay away from. So yeah, I find both of them really great for different reasons. But if I'm playing with friends, I prefer Friday. If I'm kind of playing to play, I think I prefer Dead by Daylight.
I mean, Dead by Daylight's, like, again, and the gameplay in both of them is super basic. It's just the fun of the idea, I think, in both of them. And just Friday the 13th wins out for me, just because, just the love of the franchise is in it. And I just, like, last night I'm playing and I'm fucking, like, talking to other people, like, you know, what's the best Jason, like we're just like talking stupid shit about like Friday the 13th, like and just like the panic when he comes around and you're trying to like plan stuff together, like oh god he's coming, he's killing me. no, it's just a really fun game even with randoms. It could be really fun. Yeah, I love that game. You know, it's so funny, it's like I'm pretty sure like the year it came out I did not even put it in my top 10, and it's like probably the only game from that year. I don't know when it would have come out, like 2018, something like that.
I would also say that they've done a lot of work to make it better.
It was unplayable. Yeah, the servers were all fucked or whatever. Like,
I'm super sad they had to give it up because of the rights with the franchise.
Yeah. I guess those people are doing Texas Chainsaw.
They're making a Texas Chainsaw game.
I guess, dude. I saw someone post that, and I found the Twitter account, and it said, like, from the makers of Friday the 13th game. Huh. I'm in. I think Friday is a more fun franchise to do that with, for sure, but fuck, man, I'll totally play another game like that.
If you look at it outside of what Texas Chainsaw Massacre is, because that makes zero sense in terms of a video game.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, there's a trailer out there for it, evidently.
Yeah, I looked at it. I mean, it doesn't really, like, show anything, but I'm totally in for that, too, but I really think that Pride and Prejudice is so much fun, dude. Like, it's so basic, but it's just so much fun. Like, just the atmosphere, the music alone brings so much to it. And when Eddie S. Jason has like a purple tint to him, because that's how he kind of looked in the NES game. And when he gets close, it's like the chiptune music starts playing instead of the traditional, you know, violin or whatever score for Friday the 13th. It's just like this goofy, you're like, am I playing an NES game now? What the fuck's going on? Oh shit, he's near me. Like, it's the NES one. Like, I totally forgot that, like, that one was even in the game. Like, they added that. I want that one so bad, dude. I usually play as the part two one, though, the Baghead Jason.
That Texas Chainsaw game, you will play as other members of the family, not just the...
Okay, so it won't just be just Leatherface. That's cool. Hey, man, I'll play it. I like this type of game. Like, it's just a fun, like, I'm going to have a couple beers at night, goof off game. Yeah. Like, you know.
I should play it with you guys at some point.
You want to play Friday, I'm in.
I've only tried it by myself. I have it on Xbox.
Okay, because I was going to say, I do think it is cross platform. But yeah, I have it on PlayStation because I think it was a games. PlayStation
Plus. Well, I might have it on PlayStation too because I think it was a PS Plus game, wasn't it?
That's how I have both that and Dead by Daylight. Oh, yeah. I think Dead by Daylight might be on Game Pass as well, or it was at some point.
Well, again, yeah, I guess there is that cross play element, but also Friday the 13th goes on sale for like $6 or something, like all the time on Xbox if you want on there. Get your achievements. I got an achievement last night. Dude, right at the end last night, the cops are showing up. What the fuck did I do? Oh, he was like, Jason was blocking the exit. Like, so the cops show up, and then there's like an exit you could run off the level with. And he's blocking it for me. And I think I had like a pocket knife or something on me. And so I just ran into him purposely, and he picked me up, and I fucking used that and ran out of there. And I think my achievement was like for using the pocket knife. I'm like, so I clearly haven't played this game enough if I'm getting achievements for basic shit like that.
Yeah.
But that was just such a fun ending, because like I had a gun and that pocket knife as backup, and he's just standing there waiting for me.
Oh, have you ever been Tommy?
I don't know if I've ever been Tommy, but he shows up in almost every match because he gets called all the time. Yeah. I probably fucked that up.
It's an achievement for that. Kill all 7 counselors and Tommy in a match.
I don't know if I have that achievement. I need to play it more. And so, yeah, but for real, like, anytime you guys want to play it, I'm so down. Like, it's just so much fun, dude.
All right. Anything else, Jeff? Or you were just wait. Biding time for Elden Ring.
26 minutes.
But I will still play Friday, even after Elden Ring comes out. But that's the only game I will play.
I hope you enjoy your Dark Souls Elden Ring.
There is no doubt.
I'm interested to hear what you have to say, even though I'm fairly certain that it is not for me.
Still gotta get it. I'll come help you. I'll save the day.
I can't get past the second boss in Demon's Souls. Like,
can't you get help in it or no?
No. Like, I mean, maybe there is, but at where I'm at in the game, like, it has not told me how to get help.
Really?
I
don't know how it works in that one. Yeah. I haven't played that one since it came out.
I mean, it's weird because they're all just, it's level based in Demon's Souls. So it's like you go, there's like different worlds, and each world has 4 levels in it.
I remember that.
And I mean, I'm on like so I beat like the first boss, and I've gotten to the second boss a couple times, but I can't be, and they haven't told me how to summon anybody. If you can, I'm not even sure if you can or not. So.
I honestly don't remember with that one, but every other, all the Dark Souls games you could summon, and even, fucking I played through all of them last year, and I got help on all of them. These are games that have been out forever. You can find people. You can do like Walter said, and just go on Reddit, and the community is actually really nice. Like, you'll find someone right away who is way over leveled to take care of
coming in.
Yeah, you just say, "Hey, I've even said it before. Like, look, I'm going to focus on staying alive. That, you know, I don't want to ruin. I don't want to drag you through all this, and then like I'm the one that dies. So I'm going to fucking hang back mostly." And, you know, so if there's, because there's bosses in Dark Souls 3, I think are like really, really fucking hard, where it's like two enemies and like it's just too hard. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to juggle.
Yeah. I think
you need help. Like, they're designed to have multiple people.
I think my biggest problem with it isn't like, you know, it's not that it's too hard, because like, it's that when you die, you lose your progress, right? If you can't get back to where you died,
usually there's like a shortcut. Like, I remember in the very first level of Demon Souls, you go through a whole level and then there's like a gate you can open.
You unlock the gate and then like it brings you right there. But then like you're in the second level and you have to go all the way across this bridge, before you fight this big dude with I think he's called the Tower Knight. So he's like he's like 3 stories tall. Has a giant, like one of those big, like square type shields that covers his whole body. Yeah. And like, if you die against him, well, like you have to go all the way across that bridge again to get there. Oh. And if you die before then, you lose your souls that are sitting at the foot of the boss.
Yeah, so you got to keep grabbing every time,
and you can't
walk in the arena,
and then you can't grind up. Like, because if you die before then, like, you're losing all those souls. Yeah. So you can't level up, and it's like, I'm just kind of stuck. It's like, I'm not making any progress. I don't know, like, I mean, I guess, like, you can go and do, like, one of the other first levels. But is that easier? I don't know if that's any easier.
There's one that is really good for farming on Demon's Souls. I can't remember which one, but it's one of the first ones, and it's like you just do that one over, like you do like the first 2 minutes of it over and over and over, you'll fucking level up like crazy. And then imagine, like, when you go back to this motherfucker, you cross that bridge, you fuck him up, and right, imagine how good that feels. Like, I got that bitch.
Yeah, you just kind of like walk in and take him down, and it's like, that's great, like, because now I'm like two hitting some of these blue shield, blue eye knights or whatever, who are tough. Like, if they hit you, they take a lot of your health off, but like I'm pretty much like two-shotting them with my magic. It's
interesting, like, the one really thing I like love about these games is like, you'll get to an area and the area is so overwhelming at first, and you go back to it later, you're like, fuck you, like, you're just fucking everything up. But the other thing about, like, the flip side to that is, even when you're way over leveled above like these early enemies, if you let them gang up on you, they'll still totally fucking kill you. Like, if you let them get behind you and just go to town on you, you're dead. Like,
it's
weird, you know.
I walked just a little. Like, I knew there were these dogs up there, and they're like super fast, and like, they do damage to you. Like, they don't, you know, they won't kill you in one hit, but they'll like take a chunk of your hits. All these, you can't take hits from them. And I went too far forward, and 5 of them just like attacked me, mauled me to death. Like,
any cool small enemy that, like, if you let them gang up on you, it's not good. They could take you down. But yeah, I don't know. I think you should get it, and then I'll come kill things or whatever. And the cool thing, I think I was telling you this about like last night. Like, the cool thing about this new one is, like, you reach something like, say at the point you're at right now, you're like, oh, I'm fucking sick of this boss. You just go somewhere else.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could do that in Demon's Souls too, but this is like designed for just like, hey, you know, go somewhere else.
Like, right. But like, you have access to everything, right?
Yeah. So
it's like an actual open world. Whereas in Demon's Souls, like, you have access to like 3 other levels.
It's like old school levels. It'll be like 1-1, 1-2. Like,
yeah. It's like, I have access to like 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, and 1-2.
I want to say 4-1 might have been the farming one, but again, I'm like remembering the year 2009, so like, I've not touched this game since.
Fair enough. Well, I hope you enjoy that.
I will. It'll be amazing.
We'll definitely have Elden Ring talk next week from Jeff. Probably more.
Somebody else get it too. Jeez.
I heard that Elden Ring is copywritten, so you can't talk about it.
Oh, we can't. We can't even talk about it next week. From Software saying no, no talking about Elden Ring.
Nobody.
Earl, are you getting Elden Ring? Okay, Earl's not. Earl's gone.
Oh, he's on mute. That's why. No, I'm saying no. God no.
I'm one of these to get it. I don't want. I don't want to like bore you guys talking about fucking.
How are you talking about
his I talk about. Yeah, exactly. I don't mind boring.
That's exactly.
Utilize my.
I am.
Go for it.
I am fascinated by. Like, I love the artwork in Dark Souls. I think they are cool looking games. I'm just. It's just not a game for me, but I am fascinated by them, and like I like hearing people that like them talk about them. Never does much to sway my opinion, but
think of the beautiful vistas. I don't even know.
Vista.
I've always called it a vista.
The word is vista.
I could be wrong though.
Yeah, think about that. Like I told Sean, taking the gorgeous views. That's the thing I love is like the messages people leave, you know? And anytime you come to a spot like that, you're like, wow, that's an awesome, like, it just looks so cool. Someone will have left on the ground, gorgeous view. I forgot how, I don't know how that system works. I really don't mess with it much, but like, I think if people rate
it'll show up more.
But I think it actually helps you. Like, I think it, like, if someone reads your message, it could, like, fill up your health or something weird like that. Yeah. Huh. There's so many weird things that, like, as much as I've played these games, I still, like, I don't do the PvP stuff all that much, like, where you're invading other people's worlds or anything like that. Like, but it's all there. I don't know. Anyways, someone get it. Chris, get it. I need someone to bounce my shit off of.
Sean, not good enough for you.
Come on. Well, Sean, if you could get him on the show, that would be great.
He's working like 18 hours a day.
It would be me and Sean just for an hour gushing about the game.
Sean, you can record from your truck, so get on that.
Yeah,
Call in next week, Sean, and tell us about Elden Ring with Jeff. Was there any news?
Was there any news? That is a good question. I assume there was.
It was just overwhelmed by real world news, which was a horrible.
Yeah, that's I.
Yeah.
I was just saying for 2 weeks. I assume there was news, but like, it's so hard to think of anything outside of what's been going on in the world. So I guess we can say words, and I mean, I think we had some stuff. I mean, we talked about. But did we talk about the BioShock TV show?
Oh, no.
There's a BioShock TV show?
Who's doing that?
Netflix. I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's a TV show or a movie. But yeah, they announced that they were doing that.
Dude, wasn't it like for a while Guillermo del Toro was going to do a movie of that?
I think so.
Could you imagine a Del Toro BioShock? That would be like the perfect fit, dude. He is like visually, he is the perfect fit for that. Damn it, that would have been cool.
But I mean, it's so weird how this is announced because of how it is. But Call of Duty is skipping 2023, so there'll be a Call of Duty this year, but there won't be a Call of Duty next year.
I think. I noticed that then this year is a Modern Warfare Call of Duty, right? Because a lot of the headlines I read were like, so a lot is riding on this year's, or on, you know, on Modern Warfare. Because, like, it has to sustain
for 2 years. But, it can. Like, it's not a hard thing for it to do, right?
Like, you just...
Because that game is sustained on its multiplayer. So...
They kind of do that.
You do an extra year's worth of maps, maybe add a couple more in over the course of the year as opposed to a full new game. But I think you can easily sustain that game for 2 years.
I like, don't do the Halo model and space them out by 6 months between.
It's not even so much that. It's weird that, not weird, but they were also like, yeah, we're going to fill in the gap with some other titles. Like, what else are you making?
Tony Hawk.
They're not.
Tony Hawk's their big game of 2023. That's like their big fall game.
And I mean, yeah. It will also be part of, we'll see how it goes with the Microsoft merger. Street Fighter 6 was announced this week.
Yes, that did happen. And another like fighting game collection as well, right? Like 10 games.
Was that announced this? Okay, I just saw somebody say that was on, so I didn't realize that was announced this week.
Yeah, like, it was announced at the same time as Street Fighter 6.
Okay. I will be honest with you. I don't know what it says about my timeline, but I mostly knew about Street Fighter 6 because people were either complaining about the logo or they were giving Ryu big ups for his dick. So that was the extent of Street Fighter 6 conversations on my timeline.
All right. I did see people complaining about the logo. I did not. My Twitter feed was not filled with a Ryu dick talk, so.
Disappointment. Majora's Mask hit the Nintendo Switch Online services today. And there was some
updates. Yeah, if you should have played that, what happened?
Those motherfuckers, dude. How dare, like, the balls that they have. Like, oh yeah, people are really gonna give a shit about this N64 game. Like, you give that to me a week ago, I'm like, oh hell yeah, I'm like playing it right now, telling you right now how great that game still is. I can't fucking touch that game for a fucking month now.
I get your point, but it's also a re-release of a game that's 20 years old. It's not competing with Elden Ring. I don't think they see it as a competition. I don't see it as them.
No, it's just who's gonna give a fuck?
I don't necessarily know if the crossover there's like there's gonna be people who care because it's Majora's Mask or whatever, but it's not like no matter when it comes out, it's not gonna be like, oh man, Majora's Mask is the game of the week.
It's a game for me to play. You know, I'm just been looking for shit to play up until like while we're waiting for real games, you know what I mean? And just for them to like drop it on the day that like one of the biggest games ever is coming out, it's just again, you're right, like you're totally right, but it's just like you guys could have done this like a week or two earlier. Like, I don't know.
Or in like 2 weeks.
Or maybe like, I don't know, populate that fucking N64 service anyways to begin with and not make it a fucking drip drop of fucking, you know, one game a month, whatever they're doing now. Like,
I mean, to be fair, there's only like 12 N64 games worth saying. So you can only go so far before you get past the ones that you don't have access to anymore. So, though, speaking of Nintendo, this is also from last week. They announced that the eShop for Wii U and 3DX will be closed next year.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
they're not backing down.
No, it's there's no good way. It's not a good thing, but it's hard to justify from a business standpoint to keep. I mean, especially with a Wii U.
Probably sold six games in the last fucking.
Yeah, six it's like months. One of those things where like people are more upset about the notion
the idea,
than people are of supporting it because it's like, oh yeah, what happened if I decided to buy a Wii U 10 years from now and get all these digital games? Like, that sucks, but...
Yeah. But I was telling somebody, the only thing I could care about, like, I care about way more than this shit is going forward, Switch 2. All my digital shit from Switch better be the same eShop. I'm not fucking doing this thing again where you ask me to rebuy things. Like, remember when they did that with Wii U? Like, after the Wii, you know, after the Wii was over and Wii U came out, they're like, if we release Super Metroid on Wii U, like, you could buy it again, but, like, if you already owned it on the Wii, it's at a discount. It's like, fuck you, dude. They can't do that anymore. It's gotta be...
I own Super Metroid.
Yeah,
please just give it to me now.
Yeah.
So...
It's like, that should be obviously the standard going forward from here, but it's Nintendo, so you're like, you know, Nintendo... could do anything. Like, you never know. There could be no eShop next time. Like, that's just how fucking off the wall, like, Nintendo is sometimes. Yeah.
I mean, I could see them. I mean, there'll be an eShop because they need a digital storefront for third parties and stuff like that. But I can see them more pushing towards an NSO as the future, where it's like, we're not going to release these things. They're going to give us, I don't know, $50 a year to access these NES and Super Nintendo and N64 games.
On Switch 2, I should be able to play anything I've bought digitally, whether it's Super Mario Odyssey, whether it's Infernax. Like, if it was released on the eShop on Switch, it should be playable on Switch 2. Like, that should be the standard going forward.
I don't agree with you, but I would also note that it's not even true for the PlayStation 4 and to PlayStation 5. You can't play every game you own digitally on the PlayStation 4.
Right?
I don't even know if most.
Yeah, it's most of them at this point.
Okay. But yes, it is one of those things that I think it's harder to, especially like the Wii U and the 3DS. I get two different systems, two different ecosystems. It was stupid in hindsight, especially with the Wii U from Wii. But I understood it with the Switch because it's change of format. But yes, I do hope going forward that like it's not even a case of like having access to it, but just being like, yes, I should be able to play these games natively on the next device without having people port them again.
How many times did we buy and just the amount of content I've bought on the Switch too, digitally, like that too. But like, dude, on the Wii, the original Wii, I've probably spent thousands of dollars downloading Virtual Console games, and it's like that none of that carried over really. Like, you know, that was different times. There's no excuse anymore. Them shutting down the old shops, it's like, I think, you know, Earl made the most correct point, which is like, people are more upset at the idea of it than, like, who the fuck has really bought anything on the Wii U in the last, you know, year?
Yeah.
and the thing is, like, you
know, I mean, as far as I understand, Wii U sales, who was buying stuff when it was active?
As far as I understand, say, like, on the original Wii, if you own a game, you can re-download it, I think. It's just the shop is closed.
Yes, and I
think... Oh, it's not really, like... Yeah, it's not the end of the world. The same thing
remains true here. It's not like you lose access to your digital games. It's that you can't buy new ones going
But you do forward. Lose, like there were Wii... Like, remember the original Wii? There were WiiWare games.
Yep.
There was, like, a WiiWare Castlevania that was pretty cool.
Yep. It's like, Castlevania The Adventure Rebirth is lost to time.
Yeah, it's like, if you own it, you can play it, but... If you're interested, like if you just heard about that game now and want to play it, there's no avenue for you to play it.
No legal avenue. It's
I guess there's probably, yeah.
There are ways to play that game.
Yeah.
Yes. There are no. And yes, that is, I think that's one of the things people talk about. And it's always an iffy subject. I don't disagree with video game preservation, but I feel like it's such a weird, not a weird concept, but it's like one of those things people always beat into their heads as to justify piracy. And I'm not gonna sit here on a high horse and say I'm against piracy. I've done it. I've done my fair share in the past. But I think because it's like you don't.
It's not my preferred way of doing it. Also, like I'm not even on the system. Like I wanna.
Not even preferred whatever. Way. It's just, I mean, you could also do that on the Wii if you wanted to.
Yeah, I know. Again, just make it easy for me to do it. I don't know.
It's not that hard to mod a Wii. I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. It's.
But yeah, like you want to do it the right way, right? Like you want to give your $15 over to play that Castlevania game, but you can't because they shut it down. And like, yeah, you can jump through the hoops of it, but like that game's kind of lost to time. But it, you know, it is what it is.
They should put that on one of the, if they ever do another Castlevania collection, although they kind of covered.
They need to do the 3DS game.
True. Yeah, that'd be trickier though, wouldn't it? Like the touchscreens.
Yeah, they need to make some adjustments.
That's the other thing. That's the thing I think people were more upset about is like with the Wii U and the 3DS, with the 3DS and DS more in particular. Like it's very hard to replicate those outside of the native device because of the unique forms. Of like the touch screen and the microphones and the dual screen, that is harder to pirate harder to quote unquote preserve because of the unique form factors. And I think the same thing's kind of with the Wii, though again, you can use the remote on PCs and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a crapshoot because it's like, honestly, I think the best course of action would be to like not export, but like if you could move everything up to the Switch fashion, because yeah, it makes no sense to keep maintaining a 3DS and Wii U's eShop, but you want those games to exist in some form for people to purchase them.
Yep. And we know that even that, like, you know, has its flaws, right? Like, Microsoft has had to delist games, Sony's had to delist games because the publisher's gone under and
they don't have the rights to expire. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's there, you know, there's no perfect solution to it, but it would be better if the store could stay up, right? Like the Xbox store is ostensibly the same as it has been, you know, for the last decade now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else out there?
I think that's all I had.
All right. The I guess Games with Gold got announced. It's another banger of a month.
Yay. Look at all these games I do not care about at all.
Are not going to play, yeah. The Flame and the Flood, which I believe people have said that's a good game. I've not played it. Street Power Soccer. Never even heard of that. Sacred 2 on the 360 and SpongeBob Truth or Square.
Oh,
okay. I don't know what the hell that is.
We should all play that one and review it for the show.
Just review Truth or Square. It's a platformer. It's up Jeff's alley.
Sure.
Jeff will still be playing Elden Ring.
Yep.
Yeah. He doesn't have time to play SpongeBob.
His pants aren't the right shape. That's the problem. If your pants were the right shape, you could play it.
We are no longer playing.
And the other thing, I think, Earl, you tweeted this out earlier today, or maybe yesterday. Knockout City is going free to play.
Yeah.
And that was originally done under EA, right?
Yes. I think they're self-publishing now, or...
Yeah, I think they're with the whatever the new season's going to be, they're going to self-publish it. So cool for them. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Jeff will have Elden Ring.
Chris will have Elden Ring.
That's not happening.
Somebody's got a fucking Tony. Come on.
Can't do it.
We will have
I have Horizon and Total War. I don't need Elden Ring. I have two games that I'm like, I love these games. They're going to be awesome. And this other game that's like, I'm going to hate that game. I'm not going to love it at all. I'll play it for when it's like $20 this fall. How about that, Jeff?
But no, I'd be happy that you play it.
All of your Elden Ring commentary in your brain until like November, and then we can talk about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll be happy that you play it, so at least, you know, when we're doing the Game of Year stuff, we could talk about it, but...
You might actually not want us to play it.
That's also true.
Conversation.
I would rather.
Because we'll be like, I played this game and I hate it, as opposed to, you know, Jeff played this game, I really appreciate his opinion, I don't love those games like that, but, you know, he really likes it, and instead, you'll get, God, I play that game and I fucking hate it. Awful.
I really do think Chris has given this series a chance. Like, he wants to understand, like, what the fuck. Like, but I do think, like, you guys let, like, its reputation get in the
way.
I have played three different games in the series.
I haven't been able to get into any of them.
It's something about it just doesn't click with me, and it's weird because, like, I can play hard games, right? Like, I play, it's not that it's hard. I just don't.
I'm like that with the Dishonored games too, which on paper I should adore and love, and I just can't. I just try to play those games, I just don't like it. There's something about it that's not good. It doesn't work.
I don't like those either. I don't know. Fair enough. I don't say it's really fun combat and with like a lot of atmosphere. I don't know. I'm super excited for this. I think you guys need to give it another shot.
I am. I'm excited that you are excited. Go play your game. We'll be back next week.
I'm going to explore the lands between. Good night.